But the other one, the younger one, was very, very hopeful. And she watched the reaction of her mum and dad upon the behaviour of her older sister. And if she got away with it, then she did it. But if she didn't get away with it, then she didn't do it. Now that's the prudent man, foreseeing the evil, he hides himself, and the simple pass on, and is punished. And if we can take lessons from the failure of others, and act according to them, then we're wise men and wise women. And we'll profit even from such lessons as the book of Judges. Now, the passages that we've read together tell us of the only offensive battles that the children of Israel fought in the land of Canaan. All the other battles were defensive battles, seeking to maintain the position or to recover the things that they lost because of their sins. But here are six notable battles, offensive and intended to claim the possession. Now we'll discover this, that if we read in the times of Moses in the desert, that he fought six battles, three major and three minor battles, as they came to the banks of Jordan. And Joshua brought forth six battles, three major and three minor, as they came into the land of promise. Now there are differences. I take it that the battles fought on the east side of Jordan have to do with fleshly foes. But the battles fought on the west side of Jordan have to do with spiritual foes. And only on one occasion does the enemy come over from the east side of Jordan to the west side of Jordan to bring the people of God into captivity, and it's the time of Eglon, the king of Moab. And he was able to come over, brothers and sisters, as we'll read at the end of the third chapter, that they were able to come over at the falls of Jordan. So the Jordan was running at its lowest ebb. And all the spiritual value that we can take from the river Jordan was just running out and was not being appreciated. And where the truth of Jordan is not appreciated, then the fleshly enemy comes in and takes possession. I take it, brother and sister, that the river Jordan, in contradistinction to the Red Sea, speaks of our personal identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in death and burial and resurrection. Now therein lies our victory, and therein lies our possession, and our enjoyment of the possession. But let the truth of our identification with Christ in death and burial and resurrection run into low end and be forgotten and not appreciated, then we discover that the power of the flesh comes in again and brings us into bondage. But here they're coming into the land of promise, and their spiritual blessing, and their possessing those spiritual possessions. Now, before we come to the first chapter of the book of Judges, we'll have to read the last few verses of the book of Joshua. For in the book of Joshua, we find three men having died of the death. And the first one mentioned is, of course, Joshua, the servant of Moses. The second one referred to is Joseph, the son of Jacob. And the third one referred to is Eliezer, the son of Aaron. Now to say the least, brother and sister, these three men are direct linked with originals. Moses is the man that is sent down into Egypt to break the power of hell over the people of God, that they may come out as God's free people, that they may associate themselves with the living God in the wilderness, and know the relationship with the one who has brought them out with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And as long as Joshua was alive, then Moses was very near. It would be quite easy for them to go to Joshua and say that, you were very close to the man Moses. How would Moses react? And what would be the advice of Moses in such a circumstance like this? But now that link, that direct link, that the nation's hands in Moses was snapped. But Joshua had died. And Moses now is receding into the past. For all the elders that knew Moses, they'd all died as well. And so was no man now. There was a direct link between their hand to Moses and their hand to the people of God, and identify the nation with the man. And it seems as though the left for the wrong result. And then, of course, we have Joseph. I know, dead for a long time. And yet his coffin remained there with the children of Israel. That mighty man that suffered them in the land of Egypt. But after Joseph had died, there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. I believe the force of the word, brother, if you look at it, there arose a Pharaoh that didn't want to know Joseph. Now Joseph wasn't just a national character. Joseph was an international character. For Pharaoh gives him his rightful name, the Savior of the world. And not only did the Egyptians come to Joseph, but the nations round about came to Joseph, for the famine was upon the face of the earth. And a man like Joseph could be forgotten in one generation. The fame of Joseph must have remained for many a long year. And a Pharaoh arises that didn't want to know Joseph. I've often wondered, brethren, whether the reason that Pharaoh didn't want to know Joseph, because he reckoned the value of Joseph in the light of the line of his brethren. They came from the wilderness, they came from the desert, and they came to a separated place in the land of Goshen in Egypt. That's all right. That's good. In the world, but not on it. But then they grew and they multiplied, and it says, and they filled the land. And that's where they are. And so they were doing the things that the Egyptians did, and they were going to places that the Egyptians went to. Brethren and sisters, when such a man as Moses led, and the daughters of Jethro had to describe who the stranger was that had helped them, they said to the father, an Egyptian helped us. But he wasn't them. He was an Israelite. Now I've often wondered whether it was the behavior and the character of the people of God were presenting such an adverse reflection of the Joseph himself that Pharaoh didn't want to know. That's a lesson for you guys. But now Joseph has died. He's been embalmed and his body is in the coffin. And they take that coffin across the desert 40 years and they're going to lay to rest in the part of the ground that his father had given to him. Brethren, I want to suggest this. Though Joseph was dead, as they saw that coffin in the midst for 40 years, they could say, that's the direct son of Jacob himself. That's the son that Jacob loved, Joseph. As long as the coffin of Joseph was there, Jacob wasn't very far away, was he? And he was the builder of the house, the founder of the house. But when Joseph was dead, the link was gone. And Jacob receded into the past. And then we come to Eliezer, the priest, the high priest, the son of Eliezer. The first man that was born in God. The first man that had ever gone into the Holy of Holies, there from the dead of God. Aaron is dead. But Eliezer, his son, was alive. And he was a direct link between the foremost priest and the nation. But now Eliezer is dead. And Eliezer is dead. And Aaron has followed his brother into the din of the distant valley. So here, at the end of the last chapter of the book of Judges, we find these direct links between originals. The leader and the deliverer of the nation. The father and the builder of the house of the nation. And the first one that had ever gone into the presence of God with blood on account of the nation. These were great men. But now the links were broken. And the links were buried. And to all helpers, they're left to themselves. Brethren, it's a long time since the Savior was here. A long time. Must have been wonderful days when the link with the Savior and the church were here, doesn't it? Even the Corinthians would write a letter. When the Apostle Paul was on his circuit and seeking to maintain and strengthen the hands of the saints, it must have been wonderful to listen to his words of revelation concerning truth. Therefore, comfort ye one another with these words. These things I say unto you by the word of the Lord. Let a man judge that these are the commandments of the law. Must have been said, brethren, all those links are broken. Live on. It seems as though we're left to our own resources. But brethren, how we have. Even though we're so far removed from the beginning of things, almost 2,000 years ago the foundation was there, and the apostles so rich, have we left our own resources? Brethren, Moses has gone and Joshua has with him, and Joseph has gone and Jacob with him, and Aaron has come and Eliezer with him. But the word that God gave to the nation by Moses was still there. Happiness in that. So they weren't left to their own resources. For the word that God had given to the nation by Moses answered to every circumstance in which they find themselves. As far as their personal behavior was concerned, as far as their domestic behavior was concerned, as far as the man using it with discretion, as far as the religious behavior was concerned, as far as the sexual behavior was concerned, as they touched the nations round about, here it was in the book. So they weren't left to their own resources. They had a static, unalterable, unchangeable principle for their conduct. And God had given it to them. So that whether a Moses or a Joshua was there, it made no matter, as long as they had God's word. So like I said, such is your privilege, and such is my privilege, that though we're so far removed this day from the beginning of things, as we find them in the Acts of the Apostles, we have this unalterable, impregnable, unchangeable word of God. And it answers to every condition of our lives as God's people. But it means this, brothers and sisters, if that is God, we've got to know it to be able for it to guide us through this wilderness season. You see, my brother and sister, if that is the case, and I'm not criticizing, and I don't want to criticize, but I'm stating facts, brother and sister, there is no room and no reason for change in the conduct, personally, and in the assembly, collectively, of the people of God. Because the word of God knows no change. I heard it said, in relation to the good lady, after being silent in the assembly, after the death and the covenant, I heard it said that that was only for prophets, but not for us. It's remarkable, brothers and sisters, that the bulk of what I've just been talking about is in the same chapter when we have the Lord's Supper. But they don't say that that was just for all of us. Brothers and sisters, what was given to the apostles, to the churches then, friends, wasn't given to them exclusively. It's given to every testimony of God, down through the ages, until the Lord himself shall come and take us home. All I know, we have the clear statement, brother, we've got to begin with the times now. Notice. If you're going to do that, you'll have to change to the times. Either or. Change that. And this is this unchangeable word. Then, we live and conduct ourselves according to God's word. I'm sure you'll agree with me, but that when we go outside, we're declaring the heart of God. But when we meet together inside, we're declaring the character of God. Now remember, I don't know what I or the rest of the saints must do to be able to declare the character of God. God only knows that. And he's given his instruction, particularly in all this, that it is well for us to do what those epistles say. For that is the way that God wants to demonstrate himself among his people. So then, they were left to their own resort. They had this unalterable, this static principle of the law that God gave to the nation by Moses. But then, it doesn't come to the whole problem, does it? After all, there are lots of things that might be a problem to you, a difficulty to you, that you can't just come to the scriptures and find the answer for them. And this is what James is referring to. I will go here. I will go there. If the Lord will. Now, brethren, not only did they have that static principle to control their behavior in every department of their life according to the law of Moses, but they had another principle. The answer to every emergency, and in there is the second, of the priesthood. The Urim and the Urim. The light and the perfection. Light that answers to my darkness. And perfection that answers to God's requirement. And here in the priesthood, there was that that could answer to my ignorance. And answer to God's perfection and holiness. That could answer to all the emergencies of my life. And so he is the first question, as we have it in chapter 1. Who will what was first? And the answer comes just like that. Judah, sure, God was first against the Canaanites. Happy people, brothers and sisters, that can come to God's word and find direction for for as the heads are in every department of our life, and to know that there's a man of God right there, bearing reasonably with the ignorant, and them that are out of the way, and able to give you instruction and guidance in the emergencies that confront us so often and day by day. So here we are. All the links are broken, the originals have gone away, but they're not left to their own resources. They have the word of God, and they have the faith. And so have you, and so have I, that it will do us good, and for our spiritual thought, if we have veiled ourselves as such divine provision. Now listen, we've been talking this, but it says, and Judah went up. And then we notice it says, and Judah went down. And then we notice it says, and Judah went with. Now there are three directions. There's the up and the down and the three out. Now these are three spheres of warfare, and the empty warfare too. We do go up tonight. We do go down tonight. And we go out tonight. Then, I'm quite sure you've read the three accounts of the storm in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I suppose you might have been worried that there does seem to be a pair of contradictions. Because Matthew says that storm was a tempest. And if you look to your young, to your strong, to your wisdom, you'll discover that that word tempest is really an earthquake. And in fact, it's the only time that it's ever referred to as a tempest. Every other time, it is spoken of as an earthquake. So the Matthew is saying, it's coming right up from the bottom of the sea. There's a break up there in the foundation, and it's any repercussions up to the surface. But if you have a look at Mark, Mark is just content to say there was a storm on the lake, all the way around the valley. But he makes no mention about an earthquake. But if you come to Luke, Luke says this, a storm of wind came down on the lake. So the Matthew says it comes up, and Mark says it's all the way down, and Luke says it comes down. So which one are you going to have there? As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to have them all. Because it cuts the land, and it cuts the sea, and it cuts the air. I reckon they're the elements of the land. Incidentally, I believe you could say to the senses. As the Lord wouldn't have rebuked it. If God intended, he'd have gone through it, but he rebuked that thing that belonged to the senses. Then he will find peace in the end, don't we? There is a warfare. There, there. But we wrestle not against blood and flesh. I believe that's the order, isn't it? Then? I think there's only one other time, isn't there? Hebrews chapter 2. But as much as the children are partakers of blood and flesh, I believe it's in that order as if he contradicts each of the spirit nature, isn't it? We wrestle not against blood and flesh, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is warfare in the high places, spiritual wickedness. That's the wind coming down, isn't it? That's the one you have to fight, isn't it? And then, the battle is all the way around, isn't it? That's the world about it. Please, brothers and sisters, never think that the world has become the friend of God. Will you? The one is wondering a little bit today, because we're getting some pat on the back from the world, aren't we? When that happens, brothers and sisters, it's time we go back into the sanctuary. And in the presence of God, we started to burst our lives and our hearts again. Friendship to the world is enmity with God. Well, there it is. At all that, and he went with Simeon against the Philistines. But then, the fact which is from beneath, which is earthy, heavy, children in the flesh, isn't it? There they are, in all kinds. All the rest of the world have been out. The world, the flesh, the devil, and these are the ones that have handed away about protecting our possessions and enjoying the bounty of divine riches in the spiritual realm. Then we could go on with that, isn't it? Because the sword went forth to suffer. There's nothing wrong with the sword now, is there? The sword is the Son of Man. And there's nothing wrong with the seed, is there? The seed is the word of God. But some fell on the wayside, the fowls of the air took it away. The Lord Jesus said that to them. And some fell on the holy ground. But when persecution arises, that's the world, isn't it? Then some fell on the seemingly good ground, and then the thorn of the letters will attack and choke it. And then it carried this world with the seed of the letters. I think that's good. And it's again the world there. All in the etc. Offensive battles. Now can I say this, brethren? That when we're in the book of Judges, in the book of Joshua, there's in-season. So that a way from Judah right down to Benjamin, they were adding the quarter of fighting men, and they fought together as one great army. But when we come to the book of Judges, it's lost. And he went. And he went. And he went. And he went. Isn't that the epistle to the Philippians, brethren? Isn't it now? First one of you steps on the wall, another of Paul, another of Peter, another of Christ. Why, even a world has got a better idea of things than that. They'll say unity is strength. Sometimes there are other things. And in the midst of that disintegration, Judah is saying to Simeon, come up with me into my house, and I will go with thee into thy house. I like that. That desire for fellowship. Now listen, brethren. I don't know whether you've studied the open air on your own. If you've never done it, you try it. But I remember the first time I did, and it wasn't in a big named Parakur Hall in the village. And I stood on the village green. And when I started to speak, I suppose a score of all families opened the doors. And faces looked out of the window. And I could have wished that a big hole would suddenly come and follow me. I felt ever so lonely. So lonely. It's just another brother. Just another brother. When we take any official of public part in an assembly or not, it's just another brother. Came to life. You know what it means, don't you? Hey? You know, I tell you this. God would never have his G, C in mathematics, you know. A world saves one of one, a two. For God saves one of one, a ten. One shall chase a thousand, but two shall put 10,000 to fight. Now, right now, and it's true. Now, you brethren, if you feel that you haven't got the ability, and if you feel that you haven't got the faith, to stand and speak orally, there for the people round about. I want to give you some encouragement. Just go and stand with a brother that can. And you'll be a tremendous help to him. And you'll be a strength to them as well. Brethren, in these days in which we live, I want to say one of the greatest things that is lacking is the fellowship among the people of God. And I've said it before, that the fellowship of the saints is the sweetest thing this side of heaven. You'll agree with me that there are brothers and sisters over there in Siberia. They give 10 years of their life to enjoy what you and I have taken for granted. They're the ones that appreciate fellowship. A brother very friendly said it to me on one occasion. He says, those people that can come and don't are the people that want to come when they can't. All right. Those people that don't come when they can are the people that want to when they have. My brother and sister, while you have the opportunity, avail yourself of every opportunity for fellowship with the people of God. Now, will you notice that it's these two, and it's fellowship that is brought together first, that are going up the fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. And lo and behold, when they got the 1,000 men, there were 1,000 men, there were 10,000 men after all. With one will chase the 1,000, but it takes the 2 to chase the 10,000 and put them to fight. So I reckon, brother and sister, that Judah was delighted and grateful that he asked Simeon to come and help him to fight when he discovered there were 10,000 people there. It's a bit too late for him to ask him to come in, is it? Enjoy the fellowship of the Lord, and then you prepare for the end of many times. Now, we need to notice the present. That clock was too quick. But in the past, will you notice the present? But they weren't just interested in killing 10,000 men at Bezek. They were interested in making an end of the man that controlled the 10,000 men. Adonai Bezek. Now here's an interesting thing, because Bezek means the division. The division, there's 1 Corinthians again, isn't it? Division. Adonai Bezek, I'm told, means lightning. But if Bezek means riches, Adonai Bezek means the Lord of riches. And there was a time, brother and sister, when 70 kings walked hand in hand in heaven. They behaved as kings. They conducted themselves as kings. And they were born by preaching matters to the Lord. And were riches. Brethren, Paul says, would to God that you reign as king. But there was division. And who are the ones to deal with division? But those who are in happy fellowship among themselves. How is it, brethren, that there is division among the people of God? In so many places, it's because there are none that desire fellowship the one with the other. They're content with the division that prevails. Now see, don't care about the division written. Don't care about this. Some roll it under the tongue like a sweet morsel. Some seem to boast about it, don't they? Did you notice? When Adonai Bezek has dealt with these 70 kings, they never lost a king after that. All the nations he's been lost. Every man was speaking his own as he crumbled under the table of Adonai Bezek. And you know what he did? He got the sun and the red cloth. You know, I was just seeing that when I first read that. And I said to them, what a silly and a senseless thing to do. Can another man's sun with his red cloth? The trouble was that Sally thinking about it at the wrong time. Because the young man had told me it was always my business every Saturday morning in shop to sleep for a week. My father and my grandfather were joiners, and I tell you, the axe was shattered and iron. So I thought, I'll try it. I got all of the sharp axe and the wood to chop, and I took my son away. I tell you this, brother, I want to chop that one off instead. You lose your power to hold. And this wicked, subtle man of division and mischief, he could offer some so that they knew he knew that he couldn't hold the sword again. Very well, that's what division does. And it robs you of the ability to hold the sword, doesn't it? No, brethren. Let's enjoy fellowship one with the other. And the word of God will be having its rightful place. He can offer great talks. I might have talked on it. An uncle of my wife was in the last war, and he'd got gangrene in his big talks. And the pressure was going so quickly up to Italy that he couldn't do a thing about it. And when there was some rest, then he was taken behind the lines. And he had his great talk amputated. And I remember he sent a letter to my wife. And he said if you could see me now, you left. He said, I'm walking just like a baby learning to walk. I just got to hold on to things every step I take. You mightn't think it's so because we take it so much for granted, and don't try it now, try it after it. Just stand up and swear your feet, and you'll discover how much we owe for our fellows and our great cause. You cut them off. So when he cut off their thumb, they lost their power to walk. And when he cut off their great cause, they lost their power to walk. That's what division does, sir. That's what division does. And so he caught him. And he cut off his tongue to this great cause. So that he lost his power to walk. And he lost his power to walk. And I tell you, brother and sister, they didn't even need to kill him. It says they brought him to Jerusalem and he died there. You know, there is an atmosphere where the division can't survive now, isn't there? My, let the Lord speak. Live in happy fellowship and harmony, the one with the other. And I tell you, Satan has lost his power to walk and his power to walk, and the atmosphere is too good for him to survive. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Are we not again? There it is. And that's the first battle that is presented to us in the book of Judges, because it's so important. Seemingly left to our own resolve. In simple faith, lay hold of the word of God and the man of God's right hand, and in happy fellowship of one with the other, we can move on to possess our possession in Christ. We notice there this letter, for they had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it. In other words, they made it their own. And all that Jerusalem speaks of now, they can claim for themselves. It's the peace of God, isn't it? The peace of God. So they weren't only in fellowship the one with the other, they were in fellowship with God. Now, the first John, chapter 1. Now that's the first thing. Time one just for a couple of minutes, 10 minutes tonight. Let's come to the second one. And here we're going down to fight. And brethren, if I may say so, this is the only battle in the book of Judges that has got the cry of. And so Caleb says, he that taketh courage of Peter, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. She's a virgin. The virgin. Brethren, it's the virgin.
kindled his standing with the bride. The first kindled his standing with the objective. I have found thee a chaste virgin to Christ. That ought to be the character, shouldn't it? That ought to be the objective of all the people of God who enjoy fellowship in local assembly capacity. The virgin character of the church. That's the drive, the objective. Incidentally, brother and sister, commending a beautiful anchor. That's it. That's the virgin's walk. The walk that delights the one to whom she was vowed. It also means that the serpent charmer, the first woman, was charmed by the serpent and fell. The second woman ought to be about his charms and bring him into the heat. Furthermore, you can ask what you will, and he will do it. But that's what Akshar did. What he would, and the Father did. There's a lovely position for a local assembly. Now the name of it was Kirjan Sipa. Please, brethren, not the city of the book. Some of my good brethren might think it means this, and it doesn't. It's the city of the books. If that city tells wickedness, then this is slightly wisdom. Even the archives of human intelligence and learning and knowledge. And anyone who's born by the knowledge. Now, brethren and sisters, I know we've got some good brethren among them who can rightfully put letters after the dead. No, it's not our bread. And I know many of godly men who have gone to the heights in the spheres of his own intelligence and learning. I give God thanks for men like that who have reached the top of the tree and are used for the glory of God. But brethren and sisters, the local assembly is not the place for the exploitation of fleshly wisdom. And here we are, and Caleb reckons that could be a potential danger. That the work of God and the law of Moses could be displaced by the learning that is in the world. And we're getting it out of that. Aren't we now? Oh, it's not so much what says the scriptures, but how many of you think this way? And how many of you think that way? And the majority of those have never given up according to the scriptures. But the very often in the scriptures, the majority is lost and not left. But this book never left. Now it was the desire of Caleb to display natural wisdom and change the name of Kirjan Sipa into the name Deva. And deeper means the one speaker. Of course, that means me. Yes. Oh, it doesn't mean you either, brother. Are you good at that? But it doesn't mean the Spirit of God. He's the one speaker. And he's the one that can make known the mind of God down to his word. He's the one. And the desire was to take away natural wisdom and give place for the Spirit of God, for where the law of the Spirit is, there is liberty. I tell you, will that prevail? The hope of the virgin character being offered out. Well, I'm just right. Let me come to the third one, because this is the third skill. And now it's the village house. And they have to go on against these three fenced cities. It speaks to the world of them, the village town all the time. Actually, a religious world. But I like the word that says, and Judah person went with to Alexa.
Brethren,
I want to be focused now on you. When they came to that, he said, who do you want but money gold there now, was he? My young man never got the truth. He put the hand of children into the hand of all children. Now they're going through. Isn't that the time what the Lord Jesus is doing? And he sent them out to buy him. Isn't that what the scriptures say? If one fight and it is missed, who shall defend him? But it will be two. If one shall fall, how shall you do it to that? But it will be two. If one lie alone, how shall you get beat? But it will be two. Very different, isn't it? And the going out into the world, with all its subtlety and its fascination, and you'll find the hand of the Judah in the hand of Simeon. That's the safest thing, isn't it? The safest thing. Now you get money. While you're young, let me tell you this. Make your acquaintances among the people of God. Do that. And if you want a partner, and especially in the South England. At a morning meeting, the brother gave thanks for the bed. And as he was going up to the table, as he got to the table, he laid his hand in his pocket and thanked him. And there, by the table of all the heavens, was held out of his pocket the pain of the spirit. Oh, I would have liked to be in that man's shoes. But then, there was the mouse. And on the company of those people, as a bed to an enemy, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, all the mouse of his natural language, for their rest. And so he has appeared. And he fought against it, and he fought against it, and he fought against it. And the expansion that happened in the realm of the world, and the rest, and the devil, and then he was released the whole world. So they came. Now we didn't make it all that. I'm just thinking about these things. But in days of that, we need another kind of spiritual effect that we might again think of the things more surely to need them. And what manner of persons we ought to be in all holy conversation and knowledge. May God bless you. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we